Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 14th Annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday evening, October the 27th, 2010. Pastor Bo Fisher is the speaker of this service, teaching on Old Testament types and shadows of deliverance. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
And then the disciples couldn't do it because they had a deficiency in their fasting and prayer. But Jesus did not. He'd done the groundwork up front. 40 days, no food, no water in the desert with Satan, major temptations, that was it. Now Satan's attack was in a different way, through people and things of that nature, but not with unbelief and things like that, and Jesus could minister and power them. Boy, this is tough to get through, man. So a fasting, how about this, spiritual disciplines, a daily disciplined devotion. You need to spend time with the Lord every day if you have any expectation of moving in spiritual power. In fact, if you have any expectation of just being able to continue your walk with the Lord all the way to the end. Remember, it's he that endures to the end shall be saved. It is presumptuous, it is unwise to not spend time with the Lord every day in prayer, in worship, and in Bible study. Okay? And Bible reading, whatever you want to do. Read your one-year Bible, sing your favorite praise song, something or other, you know. I mean, rock bottom minimum 15 or 20 minutes. In our church, we have small groups. You can't even be a part of them unless you spend 30 minutes a day in a quiet time every day, 7 days a week, okay? For me, I tell them, I say you can be a part of the group for 30 minutes a day or whatever, but you will not grow with a 30-minute-a-day quiet time. You will not grow with a 30-minute... If you've known the Lord for any length of time, if you're brand new, you'll grow with a 30-minute-a-day quiet time. If you've known the Lord 10 years, a 30-minute-a-day quiet time, that's just barely enough to get your one-year Bible out of the way. You know, I mean, you're not going to really move forward. Go a little farther, 45 minutes, an hour. You know, maybe you can only do 30 minutes a day on a regular basis because of your schedule, but then on Saturdays, you know, 2 hours or something like that. Something that's over and above and extra so that you can grow. How about committed church involvement? Committed church involvement is not an option. You must be involved in other people's lives. You must be under authority. Okay, you must have accountability. If you are an authority, if you pastor a church, look for some other type of authority. Maybe you could be underneath an apostolic covering, or at least be mutually submitted with some other pastors or ministers in the area where there was some accountability. Okay, if you don't, it's too easy to begin to get off track and get weird, right? Especially in this ministry. Okay. And serving and ministering to others. Basic spiritual discipline. So what Jehoshaphat did is he removed the altars and the idols of the false gods. He's a picture of a believer who's put spiritual disciplines in place. He's seeking to honor and obey the Lord to the best of his ability. He's getting deliverance. He's getting the false gods out. He sent the Levites out to teach. In other words, he was involved in evangelism and discipling others. This is a guy who was walking the way he ought to walk. And then in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, look at what I want to say before we look at the verses here is obedient living threatens Satan. Obedient living actually draws Satan's attention, right? When I came onto the property the other day, I was not being attacked because I'd done anything wrong. I was not being attacked because of my sin. I was being attacked because I was doing something right, right? To discourage me from doing something right. Okay? And so Satan comes and attempts to disrupt and to interrupt this fortification process, this godly Christian life. And look in 2 Chronicles 20, look at verse 1. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites and with them some of the Muanites came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they're in Hazar Tamar." Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a what? Fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. So this is a guy who's doing the right thing. He knows what to do. Trouble comes, he fasts, he prays, he humbles himself, he asks for help from other people. And look at verse 14. The word of the Lord comes. The Spirit of the Lord came upon this guy. Now, go down to verse 15. We don't need to read his long name. And he said, "Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's." God speaks with prophecy in this case, after they sought him. When you are ministering deliverance to people, you can expect to see the supernatural. You can expect to receive words of knowledge or have prophecies for people. You can expect for healing to manifest in your deliverance sessions and ministry sessions. You can expect to move in discernment of spirits and see miraculous manifestations. Now, you won't if you're sitting on the couch with your TV clicker, right? It says, faith works by love. Right? By love, serve one another. If you want to move in the miraculous, if you want to move in power, if you want to see signs and wonders and things, it is not done in front of the television. Okay? You have to get out and put yourself in a position to be used by God, which always involves people. Right? Other people. Right? That's what God is into. God's into people. Right? Me, I tend towards the monastic, right? I'd kind of like to get away from people. But the truth is Jesus is always pushing people like that to people, right? More involved in people's lives, because that's what Jesus did. He spent 40 days out in the wilderness, but then what did he do? He would occasionally withdraw to the wilderness, but the preponderance of his time was spent face-to-face with people, either training his disciples or ministering to needy people. Okay? And look at what happens here in verse 21. And when Jehoshaphat had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." They put the praise team out in front of the army, not the guys with the swords. They put the praise team out there and began to praise and worship God. And look what happened in verse 22. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read it. But what happens is the demonic enemies of God's people, three different nations, began to, in the presence of the praises of God, they began to attack and devour each other, and all fell down dead bodies. And what happens as they go on is this army that has assembled of Israelites takes them 3 days to carry all the booty away, all the good stuff. So the enemy came in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord raised up a standard, and Israel was better off than they were before the enemy attacked, because they met him in faith. That's what happens in the spirit world. When you, when there's a demonic attack and you meet it in faith, according to God's word, you meet it with the scriptures, or you meet it with praise, or you meet it with thanksgiving in spite of the circumstances, the angels are involved. The angelic ministry is activated. The angels of God that have been kind of leaning on their swords around you, you know, because you've been pigging out and sitting in front of the TV and reading trashy novels and stuff. Not y'all, but the people you minister to. Suddenly they take notice, and they, you know, one of them jabs the other one and says, "Hey, look, he's moving in faith. He's exercising faith. Hey, what do you think? Is your sword rusty? No, mine's not either. Let's see if we remember how to use these things." Oh, and they go over and whack those demons to pieces, right? And you receive peace. Okay, now we're going to turn to Esther, book of 1, chapter 1. We're just going to look at two stories real quick. Esther being the first one, but we're not reading a lot of passages or anything. So we'll get you out of here not too late. Esther 1, verse 1. "Now in the days of Ahasuerus, the Ahasuerus who reigned from India to Ethiopia over 127 provinces." I simply wanted to read that to introduce the great king, King Ahasuerus. He is the king of, what is this, Medo-Persia? It's probably Medo-Persia at this time. Okay? Now look at chapter 2, verse 5. "Now there was a Jew in Susa, the citadel, whose name was Mordecai." That's all we need to know from that. We've got two characters now. King Ahasuerus, Mordecai the Jew. Now look at verse 7 of chapter 5. "He was bringing up Hadassah, that is Esther, the daughter of his uncle, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman had a beautiful figure and was lovely to look at. And when her father and her mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter." Okay, the third character, Esther, who is Mordecai's ward. It's his niece that he's raising. And she becomes the queen. okay, through a series of circumstances. Now look at Esther 3, verse 1. After these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman the Agagite, the son of Hammedatha. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Haman the Agagite, and I want you to hiss. Okay, here he is. After these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman the Agagite. Right, okay. We minister at an apartment complex for elderly folks, and we became acquainted with a Jewish couple there, and they invited us to come to a Purim party. And I've been to a Jewish Seder in the house of some Jewish friends of mine, but I'd never been to a Purim party. And we went over there, and they write Haman on the bottom of their shoes that day. Okay, Haman the Agagite, the son of Hammedatha, and advanced King Ahasuerus advanced him and set his throne above all the officials who were with him. Okay, now King Agag is in control of his kingdom. Would you agree? He sits on the throne and he's in control of his kingdom. I would submit to you that that represents a human soul. A human soul, the driving force of a human being, a personality, and he is sitting on the throne controlling his kingdom. I would say that represents a body, a human body. The human soul is sitting enthroned and in control of his kingdom, the human body, that which he has control over. Okay? And Haman represents Satan. How do we know Haman represents Satan? Well, here's one way you know. Anybody named Haman the Agagite, I mean, just sounds satanic, right? Okay, he is a descendant of Agag, the Amalekite king whom Saul spared, right? This is God's sworn enemy. When the children of Israel are coming out of Egypt, Amalek comes up against Israel and they pick off the ones that are lagging in the background, the old, the weak, the sick, those that are lagging behind. And it says, and did not fear God. And that's where you get one of the covenant names of God. I'm not sure which one it is. It's either Jehovah Nissi or Jehovah Tsidkenu. And it says, a hand upon the Lord, for the Lord has sworn that he will have war with Amalek forever. Forever. Okay? And there are similar verses in Deuteronomy. And the Israelite king was supposed to read from the law, which I would expect would have been the book of Deuteronomy, on his throne every day. And King Saul apparently did not, because if he had, he would have seen that he was supposed to kill Amalek. I will utterly blot Amalek out from under heaven. Right? So it wasn't just that Saul didn't quite do what he was supposed to do. He was very deficient and negligent in performing his duties as a king in this way before the Lord. Okay, that's a little extra stuff there. And here's another way that we know that Haman the Agagite is a demon, because he persecutes God's people. And that is a primary purpose of the demonic, and an identifying characteristic of the demonic is that they persecute the Jews in the Old Testament or the church in the New Testament, right? Okay, now we have Mordecai. So we have King Ahasuerus, he's a human soul. His kingdom is his human body. We have Haman, who is Satan himself. And then we have Mordecai, who is a good, faithful, wise counselor. Who might that be? The Holy Spirit. Okay? And then we have Esther, who is his ward, his pupil. And I would say that's a human spirit. So we have a problem. The king is listening to the wrong guy. He's listening to Haman. He's listening to Satan, not to Mordecai, the Holy Spirit. Right? And so this guy, this is a case of the wrong man in, the right man out. The wrong man, Haman, is in, he's got the king's ear. And the right man, the guy that really is faithful, does not have the king's ear. So, how will this change? God is going to change this. He changes it in a dramatic change of events that is better than any Hollywood movie. A series of circumstances. And changes this. And Esther convinces King Ahasuerus that Haman is bad and King Ahasuerus has him executed. Okay? So let me read it this way. Esther, the human spirit, under the influence of Mordecai, the Holy Spirit, convinces King Ahasuerus, the human soul, that Haman, Satan, is bad and King Ahasuerus has him executed. He throws him out. He turns to Mordecai, turns to the Holy Spirit. and then you have a restoration of order. The believer is born, the person becomes a believer, is born again, and there's order. The soul rules the body now. But it's under the influence of Esther, the human spirit. And who is she under the influence of? Mordecai, the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay. But even then, there is still a problem, because we don't have time to read it. But in Esther 8, we're not going to read it. No, it's not Esther 8. It's Esther 5, verses 9 through 13. You can read it yourself. Haman goes off on this long discourse about his glory. And he just talks about him, self, to all of his friends. It was very boring to be a friend of Haman, because he just talked about himself. Isn't that just like Satan? It's just like the demons. Okay, all they can think about is themselves. But what happens is, in the context of that discourse, he mentions the number of his sons. So Haman has been executed, but what about his sons? His sons are still at large. They're still loose in the kingdom. Numerous sons of the wicked Satan are still at large in the kingdom of the human body. And the king, the human soul, he may not even know that they're there. He may not even recognize that there's this problem. Okay, so Mordecai, the Holy Spirit, issues a decree for the enemies of God's people to be killed. And guess what happens in Esther 9, verses 5 through 10? They do it. They execute the 10 sons of Haman. Let's look at their names. Esther 9, verse 5. Esther 9, 5. The Jews struck all their enemies with the sword, killing and destroying them, and did as they pleased to those who hated them. In Susa, the citadel itself, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. And also killed Parshandatha, and Dalphon, and Aspatha, and Poratha, and Adalia, and Aradatha, and Parmashta, and Arisai, and Aradai, and Vaizatha, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemies of the Jews. Not only was Satan destroyed and the soul born again and brought under the influence of the Holy Spirit through the human spirit, even the sons of Satan, the indwelling demons, were eliminated from the kingdom of the human body. Isn't that cool? Praise God. Now, for the sake of time, we're not going to be able to look at Nehemiah at all. But let me just say this. If you'll read through the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah means comforter. The name means comforter or consolation. I would submit that Nehemiah is a type of the Holy Spirit. And he comes to a city, the place of God's dwelling, that is, the walls are broken down, there's trash everywhere, there's disorganization. This is a picture of a demonized believer. That does not have rule over their spirit. Their city is broken down and without walls. There's trash and rubbish everywhere. Things are not in order. And he comes with a message of encouragement to the people there. Yes, you can do it. God's on your side. You know, let's do it together. You know, think of the benefits. And aren't you sick of the way things are? And unfortunately, the main thing we're not going to be able to look at is Sanballat the Horonite, right? And who's the other guy? The Geshem the Arabian, or the, anyway, whatever. These guys, you got to just hear some of the things they say. They say things like, "What will these feeble Jews do?" Right? Aren't the kinds of things that he says to you when you get up in the morning? Right? Huh? Nick, what will Nick do today? He'll fail again. We'll get him. We'll trip him up. It's the same thing every time. We're going to get him again today. Right? Or, Vito, huh? What does he think he's doing? Right? Is he going to rebel against the king? Amen. Amen. Well, they probably don't visit you then as much. Probably not Nick either. But they say these discouraging things. They say, "Oh, look at the wall they've built. If a fox were to run over it, it would fall down," right? Those kinds of things. And then you see their schemes, their wiles. They begin to try to draw Nehemiah out of the city. Let's not think of him as the Holy Spirit in that case, but a believer that's seeking to do the work of building their soul up and get deliverance. They try to draw him out where he's away from people and to seduce him to compromise or perhaps do violence to him. And then they try to make inroads within the city, alliances with other people in secret. They try to bring in compromise. They try to bring in sin. They try to get him to violate the Sabbath, you know, and to just violate God's law and to walk in disobedience and not be under the blessing of God. So hopefully that will minister to you as you read through the book of Nehemiah. I'm sorry we couldn't go through it together. Excuse me. In summary, the natural enemies of God's people that you read about in the Bible can be symbolically looked at as the demons against the life of a believer or God's people. The things that they say in the Scripture are the things that the demons say, like, "Where is now thy God?" You know, or and the attitudes that they have, those are the attitudes that the demons have towards you. It's generally a smug attitude, a scornful and derisive, sneering attitude. But sometimes it's a fearful attitude. Now, they know their stuff well, and they've got thousands of years of deceiving human beings. And they generally can trip you up with a dime store demon. But if you're persistent and consistent, over time, they begin to get threatened. And their strategies will change a little bit. Okay, their strategies, their tactics, their activities, all that gives insight into the operation of the demonic. So I encourage you to read your Bible. Now, is there time, Pastor Jim, for a little deliverance? Raise your hand if you've ever had any deliverance from, like, some of these nations, like Amorites, or who's ever heard that and gotten deliverance from that? Amorite, Hittite, things like that. Okay? Well, I'm rolling the dice tonight. I'm betting that you have not had deliverance from these Medo-Persian things, huh? From Adalia and Parmashta, huh? Do you know what they mean? I don't either. But they know what they mean, and they know who they are. Okay, and they're going to come out when we tell them to come out. Okay, and plus we'll go through these other Sevenites that are in the thing. I want to take you to one scripture, all the ites, yes, in Jesus' name. Isaiah 49, verse 24. This is what the scripture says. Can the prey be taken from the mighty, or the captives of a tyrant be rescued? Who's got King James? Read it to me in King James. What does it say, Carla? 24. The lawful captive. I wanted to key in on that phrase here. I believe in breaking generational curses. I believe in repenting over the sins of our ancestors. I believe in making sure that we're repentant. I believe in making sure that we're forgiving people. I believe in, we have a booklet that we publish to prepare people for deliverance. It draws heavily from Jerry McGee's booklet, Clearing the Land. I don't know if that's on the book table, but that's a great booklet. You need that one. It's very useful. We do all that, right? You three guys, raise your hand. Am I telling the truth? We always go through all that stuff. You know what? But that is the law. That is to make sure that we fulfill the righteous requirements of the law of those things so we can get deliverance that way. But there's something that even trumps the law, and that is grace. See, because when you read in the Gospels, when Jesus came to minister deliverance to people, there is nothing in the Gospel accounts of anything like that. He cast demons out. When there was a need, when there were demons, he cast the demons out. Okay? So I'd like to ask you to stand right now. Will you stand with me to receive deliverance? If in a minute you're unable to for whatever reason, or you're more comfortable sitting, that's fine. But let's start by standing out. See, these are our human methods to help us to minister deliverance to people. But Jesus trumps the human methods. These are principles. They are true principles that we use and apply. But the presence of God trumps the principles. The power of God trumps the principles. So I say that to you because you may be thinking, the demons will say in your mind, well, you know, Gene, Barry, you haven't forgiven this right here. Or Bill, you haven't dealt with that generational curse adequately. You know, or Mike, there still may be this soul tie. Well, I'll tell you what, the power of God is here to set you free and deliver you and cast out the demons. And if you still feel like tomorrow you've got some ground you haven't cleared that you should have gotten cleared before you got the deliverance you're about to get, well, go back and clear it or whatever if there's still some ground to clear. But I want you to be in a posture of faith and receptivity now, okay? In the name of Jesus. Father, come, Holy Spirit. I take authority over any powers or principalities that would in any way hinder the work that the Lord wants to do here tonight to deliver His saints from demonic infestation. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. I bind any assignments of the devil against this meeting or any person in the name of Jesus. And I take authority over Parshandatha, and I command you to come out of God's people. In Jesus' name, come out, Parshandatha. In Jesus' name, I command you to loose the saints of God. Whatever you represent in the spirit world, you're evil, foul, wicked, and illegitimate. So come out in the name of Jesus. Come out of God's people. I break your power. I loose you from your assignment. Up and out. Up and out. Up and out, Parshandatha. Dalphon, in the name of Jesus. That means crafty. In Jesus' name. And sleepless. The Bible says there is that does not sleep. That's the devil. In Jesus' name. Come out, crafty spirits. Come out, sleepless spirits. In Jesus' name. You wicked spirits that stay up all night looking for ways to torment these people, tormenting them in their dreams. Come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Evil dreams, wicked dreams, weariness, waking up more tired than when you went to bed. Come out. Come out. Sleep apnea, sleep deprivation, wild dreams, wicked dreams, busy dreams, lewd dreams, rejection dreams. In Jesus' name, I command you to loose God's people. All that in the name of Jesus. Tormenting dreams, fearful dreams, rejecting dreams, nightmares, every evil dream, I command you to loose God's people. Go forever in Jesus' name. Forever, this is it. Go. No more evil dreams in the name of Jesus. Go. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Sleeplessness, crafty, sneakiness. I command all sneakiness to go in Jesus' name. Getting away with it. Getting away with it one more time. Trying to sneak it by in Jesus' name. Trying to fudge. Trying to do the minimum in Jesus' name. Just getting by. Seeing what you can slip through. Always making people have to correct you in Jesus' name because you're just doing the minimum. Seeing what you can get by with in Jesus' name. Go, go. That's a grief to authority. Do the most you can do. See how much you can do. I break your power, Satan. I break that passivity. I break that listlessness in Jesus' name. I break that rebellion. I break the procrastination. I heard someone say procrastination is disobedience in slow motion. I command the procrastination to go. I command the disobedience to go. I command the rebellion to go. I command the rebellion against parents. They're not wanting to clean your room, not wanting to wash behind your ears, not wanting to take a bath, not wanting to cut the yard, not wanting to take out the trash, not doing it when they say it, not doing it how they say it, not doing it with a smile on your face. Go. I break your power. Not obeying all the way. Not obeying right away. Not obeying in a happy way. I command you to go from God's people. I break the curses of that in Jesus' name. Loose them. Loose them. Loose them in the spirit world in Jesus' name. I command Aspatha to come out in Jesus' name. I command Aspatha in the name of Jesus. That means given from a sacred horse. I break all idolatry. I break all idolatry of unicorns in Jesus' name. I command the unicorn fetish to be broken. The occult spirits to go in Jesus' name. Mushrooms, occult objects, occult artifacts, amulets. I command the effects of all that to go from God's people in Jesus' name. And generationally, going back 10 generations, go, go, go. And I loose the, break the power of that over your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and so on too. In Jesus' name, go, go. All occult objects, occult amulets, occult spirits, demon spirits in Jesus' name through jewelry. I break your power. The idolatry of horses, the idolatry of horse figurines in Jesus' name, the idolatry of enchantments in Jesus' name, Pegasus, any reliance on that or idolatry of that, I command you to go. Loose God's people in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I command Paratha to come out. Come out, Paratha. Come out. Come out where you're hiding. Strangers shall be afraid and disappear and come cringing out of their hiding places. Come out, Paratha. I command Paratha to come out of the lungs. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out under the arms and the lymph nodes. Come out, Paratha, in Jesus' name. From behind the lungs and the chest cavity, I command you to come out. Come out, Paratha. I rebuke you in the spirit world. The curse of the Lord and my curse be upon Paratha, and I command you to evacuate and be gone in Jesus' name. I command Adalia to come out. Adalia in Jesus' name, it means honorable. I command the pride of life to leave. Leave, pride of life. Leave in Jesus' name. No nobility, pride of being like a nobility. Gentility in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, pride of intellect, pride of life, pride of parentage, pride of heritage, pride of name in the community, pride of however many generations you've been somewhere. Go, go, go in the name of Jesus. Pride of family accomplishments in Jesus' name. There's a healthy pride, but the where you're relying on that, you get your kudos and self-image and stroke, and you think you're better than other people. I break the power of superiority in Jesus' name. I command you to loose God's people in Jesus' name. And if you've been the victim of that, where people have made you feel bad because your family was nothing and your intellectual achievements are nothing and your money is nothing and you just feel like nothing, I break the rejection of that. I break the shame of that. I break the humiliation of that in the name of Jesus. I break all the effects of those bitter words and command them to be gone from God's people in Jesus' name. Aradatha, I command you to come out of the saints of God here in this room. Go, Aradatha, in Jesus' name. Given by Hari, we command the Hari spirits to come out in the name of Jesus. The Hari occult spirits, the Middle Eastern gods in Jesus' name. We command them all to come out. All Middle Eastern gods in the name of Jesus. All Near Eastern gods in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All Persian, Medo-Persian, Babylonian gods. All Asia Minor gods. Saudi Arabian gods in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, go, 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 all Indian gods, Pakistani gods, Afghani gods, all that in Jesus' name, go, we break your power in Jesus' name, those deities, we command you to go. Parmashta, I command you to come out in Jesus' name. That means the very first in Jesus' name. We break any curse from being firstborn and being disappointed and feeling rejected when a sibling came along. We break any special attack against the firstborn in Jesus' name. We command you to loose God's people. Again, pride of position in Jesus' name. Lording it over your siblings. Lording it over your employees. Lording it over your co-workers. Lording it over people in organizations. Lording it over the people in your congregation. We command you to go, 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 go. He that would be first, he that would be best would make least, and he would be very best would be the very least. In Jesus' name, go, go. I command pride to go. I command pride and superiority to go. I command you to loose God's people. Go, 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 go. Anything but a servant heart in the name of Jesus. Anything but following the humble King. I command you to go in Jesus' name. We break your power. Come out, come out, come out, come out of God's people in Jesus' name. We command Arisai to come out. Come out, Arisai, in Jesus' name. We command you to come out of God's people in Jesus' name. Loose them. Loose them, Arisai, in the name of Jesus. We bind you and we cast you out. Aradai, in Jesus' name. That means the altar hearth. In Jesus' name, we break the power of household gods in the name of Jesus. We break the power of Catholic saints in Jesus' name. We break the power of burning candles to saints in Jesus' name. We break the power of all household gods in Jesus' name. All superstitions, I command all superstitions to go in Jesus' name. Every superstition that came down through the family line, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every one of them, we command you to go in the name of Jesus. I break the power of domestic discord. I command domestic discord to go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, criticism. In the name of Jesus, insults. In the name of Jesus, putting down the spouse in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, incest. In the name of Jesus, crossing the boundaries. In the name of Jesus, putting your hand on another person in something other than love. In the name of Jesus, we break the power of that. Punishment, violent punishment in Jesus' name. Incest, child abuse, wife abuse in Jesus' name, spousal abuse, and back the other way, wives hitting and biting and kicking their husbands in Jesus' name. We command you to loose God's people in the name of Jesus. All domestic discord, I break the power of that. I break the power of the marriage-breaking spirit. I break the power of divorce in Jesus' name. I break the power of the spirits that come in to bring a blending of relationships that should not be, where the mother-in-law or the father-in-law or a brother-in-law or sister-in-law has undue influence over the household and in the marriage. I break the power of that over God's people in Jesus' name. Loose them in the spirit world. Vaizatha, I command Vaizatha to go in Jesus' name, which means given of the best one. If there is any person that has been dedicated to a demon god, I break your power. I command all the effects of that to be broken in Jesus' name over you and your descendants forever. Jesus Christ set you free. I break the power of that being dedicated to a demon god, but also being dedicated to a lifestyle that is not yours, that is not what the Lord has for you. Maybe to an intellectual lifestyle, maybe to a certain business, maybe to a certain kind of marriage or a certain kind of family life that is not God's will for you. I break the power of that. I break the power of the parental expectations. I break the power of the parental pressure in Jesus' name, and grandparental pressure to conform you into something that is not what God wants to conform you to. Loose, loose, loose God's people. loose them, where they feel pressured and smothered by the expectations of their parents and grandparents. Go in Jesus' name. The rejection of that, not being accepted as you are for who you are. I break the power of that. The pressure of not being able to be who you are in God. I break the power of that in Jesus' name. Loose God's people. We command the Amorite spirits to come out in Jesus' name. The hill dwellers, we command independence to come out. Independence and self-will and lone ranger, go in Jesus' name. That isolationism, I break the curses that would make you isolated. I break the curses that would make you a desperado. I break the curses that would make you a renegade and do it your own way. Go from God's people. All that independence, not wanting to submit to authority, I command you to loose God's people. Not wanting to be under authority, not wanting to be transparent, not wanting others to see what's inside and speak into your life. Go in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus. We command the Hittite spirits to come out. All Hittite spirits, loose God's people. Come out from where you're hidden in Jesus' name. Every Hittite spirit, we break your power. Loose your assignment. Drive you out in the name of Jesus. We command the Perizzite spirits to come out. All Perizzite spirits, go wherever you're hidden. In the ears or in the head, in Jesus' name, up in the upper body and everything. We command the Perizzite spirits to go. And from the eyes, in Jesus' name. And from the cranial cavity, go, Perizzite spirits, in Jesus' name. We command the Canaanite spirits to come out. That means merchant and trafficker. In Jesus' name, we break that. We break the busyness in Jesus' name. The being a busy playground for demons in Jesus' name. In your mind, in your emotions, in your body, in the sensual area, in the sexual area, in the eating, overeating, glutton area in Jesus' name. In the television and the noise of the television and the depravity of the content of the television. In Jesus' name, I command that. I smash that. I smash that trafficking. I smash that in Jesus' name. I smash that evil conversation. I smash that merchandise, making merchandise of God's people. Jesus especially made a special point of that, saying, you shall not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. In Jesus' name, go noise, go filth, go stench, go smells, go odors, go evil attitudes in Jesus' name. Go sneaking, conniving, lying, stealing. We command it to go in Jesus' name. All trafficking, all undue concourse with the world, all undue conversation with the world. We break the power that worldliness, all worldliness, we command worldliness to go in Jesus' name. Worldly dress, worldly attitude, worldly speech, worldly interests, worldly habits, worldly friends, in Jesus' name, worldly ways of relating, we smash you over God's people in Jesus' name. We command all of the Hivite spirits to come out. The ramparts, fortifications, outer defense. We command the defensiveness to be broken in Jesus' name. We command the witchcraft to be broken, the control to be broken, the defensiveness in Jesus' name, the unteachableness in Jesus' name. We smash the power of that in the name of Jesus. The unwillingness to let people close, the unwillingness to let people speak into your life, the unwillingness to submit to authority. We smash that in Jesus' name. The taking a correction that someone offers and throwing it back in their face. We break the power of that. We renounce that. I command those demons to come out of God's people in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you Jebusite spirits, come out, Jebusite spirits. We break your power, command you to come out in Jesus' name. We rebuke you, Jebusite spirits, in the name of Jesus. Amalekite spirits, we break your power in Jesus' name. Carnality, fleshliness, indulgence, we command that to go. The overdeveloping of the soul in the name of Jesus. The overdevelopment of the intellect. The pride of life and the reliance on the intellect in Jesus' name. Again, developing the intellect is important. What's most important is interaction with people. What Jesus is really into is people. People need help. A book is great to read, but ultimately it doesn't really expand God's kingdom, except to the degree it equips you further to be involved with people. So we command all that to go. We break the power of that. The ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We command you to go. Wanting to read another book, wanting to get another doctrine, wanting to get another concept, wanting to get a little more equipment, and wanting to get a little more equipping. Go out and use the equipping you have. And then you'll get more, and you'll see where your deficit is. Because right now, if you just go forward with what you think your deficit is, because that's not really where the deficit is. You have to use it. You have to get experience so you see, oh, I don't even need to read that whole book, right? I just need to read this pamphlet, this different pamphlet. Go, 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 deception. I break the power of deception, the feeling like you ever need more training in Jesus' name without using what you have. Go, go, go in Jesus' name. It's like hanging out, as our associate pastor says, it's like hanging out at a buffet and eating, 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 but never going out and using the food that you ate, you know. Go, go, go. All that. I break that deception over God's people. We command the Girgashite spirits to come out. Come out, Girgashite spirits. Loose God's people. Whatever you are, wherever you are, it's time for you to go. Go. Go in Jesus' name. Moabite spirits. We command the Moabite spirits to be broken in Jesus' name. We command incest spirits to be broken in Jesus' name. We command rape spirits to be broken in Jesus' name. We command molestation spirits to be broken in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we command premarital sex spirits to be broken in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we command impure sexual conduct spirits to be broken in Jesus' name. We smash your power. We smash your power with all worldliness, worldly attitudes towards sex in Jesus' name. We break the power of that. Selfish, self-centered attitudes towards sex in Jesus' name. We break the power of that. Go, 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 go in Jesus' name. You are hers and she is yours. Go in the name of Jesus. You're not your own. Go, 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 Satan, in Jesus' name. We command the Ammonite spirits to go. In Jesus' name, we smash the power of Ammonite spirits. Loose God's people. In the name of Jesus, every Ammonite spirit, we drive you out from where you're hidden in the spirit world. Edomite spirits, come out, come out, come out. Edomite spirits, proud spirits, haughty spirits, in Jesus' name. Go, 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 Edomite spirits. We break your power in Jesus' name. Cruel spirits, loveless spirits, we command you to come out. Self-centered spirits, rejoicing over harm in other people, rejoicing when other people fail, rejoicing when other people fall, in Jesus' name. Taking secret delight in the failures of other people, and when other people get their comeuppance and get what's due to them. That's not the spirit of the Lord. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Go, go, go. Mercilessness, hardness, in the name of Jesus, hard-heartedness, we command your power to be broken over God's people in Jesus' name. Arabian spirits, go, go. Wandering spirits, in Jesus' name, go, go. What was that thing that Cain was? Wandering spirits, go. All that in Jesus' name, go, go, go. Vagabond, all vagabond spirits, unable to get down, be planted, put down roots and bear fruit where you are in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go in Jesus' name. We command Midianite spirits. We break the power of Midianite spirits, strife and contention. We command marital strife to be broken. We command strife between parent and child to be broken. We command strife between pastor and congregant to be broken. We command strife within leadership in the church to be broken. We command strife between employer and employee to be broken in Jesus' name. Go, go, all strife and contention, inner strife, strife in the mind. We break the power of strife and struggling and contention in the mind in Jesus' name. Divided heart concerning doing the will of God. We break your power in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, Philistine spirits, we command the Philistine spirits in Jesus' name. Loose God's people. In the name of Jesus, dominating spirits, domineering spirits, controlling spirits, we break your power in Jesus' name. Loose God's people. Sidonian spirits, we command the Sidonian spirits to loose the saints, loose them in Jesus' name, loose them, Sidonian spirits in Jesus' name. Again, the trafficking, the relying on the arm of the flesh, we break the power of relying on the arm of the flesh in Jesus' name. And finally, Syrian spirits, we command all Syrian spirits to go in Jesus' name. Go, 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 oppressive spirits in Jesus' name, domineering spirits, unkind, controlling spirits in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Leeching spirits just sucking off of other people. In the name of Jesus, we command you to go. We break your power in Jesus' name. Self-centered spirits just wanting what you can get from other people. We command you to go in Jesus' name rather than going in to serve them. We break your power in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit, blow with your wind, Lord. We pray that you would send a mighty wind and powerful angels to come and to whatever's been loosened by us beating on it to just drag it all the way out. Blow it out with a mighty gale, Lord Jesus. Blow it out into some kind of gigantic container and send the angels to carry it off, never to come back in Jesus' name. And we seal in the Spirit what's been done in the spirit world. And we give thanks to God. Let's just raise your hands and give thanks to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We trust you, Jesus. We give our deliverance to you. We give thanks, O God. Glory to God. We worship you and magnify you, Jesus. Holy, holy, holy. In the name of Jesus. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you for staying with me a little longer than I might otherwise have kept you. It's yours, brother. You may just close. Okay, all right, praise God. Well, Father, we thank you for the things that were done here in the spirit world tonight, all you've done so far in the camp. We ask you for a good night's sleep tonight, protection in the spirit world, for special conviction for all of us about getting to morning prayer tomorrow when the alarm goes off and it's so tempting to roll over in the covers. Lord Jesus, we pray we'd win the battle of the bed tomorrow morning and continue the deliverance we've gotten, continue the equipping. And we pray for protection for this entire campground and everyone on it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.